Who is God in the midst of my trial? So if you have Psalm 28 open in your Bible or on the sheet in front of you, let's read it together. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. For if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward you, toward your holy sanctuary. Do not drag me away with the wicked and with those who work iniquity, who speak peace with their neighbors, while evil is in their hearts. Requite them according to their work and according to the evil of their practices. Requite them according to their deeds of their hands. Repay them their recompense, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the deeds of his hands. He will tear them down and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him. The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd also, and carry them forever. So we notice first and foremost at the bottom of your page, David is faced with a heavy trial. Now that's not a surprise to us, knowing David and his struggles, that he is faced with a heavy trial. But many of us have heavy trials that we are faced with, very different in many ways from what David struggled with, but yet not all that different in some ways. As we mentioned, God does allow trials in our lives to test us, to approve of our faith, so that we can know that we have faith that is assured in him. That's how we grow. That's how sanctification happens. That's how we become more Christ-like. Oftentimes, amongst that trial, we are tempted. We desire something that is not first and foremost honoring to the Lord. And in that way, we fall short of God's glory, and hence sin. And that sin can take the form of many different ways: pride, frustration, even to a certain degree, disillusionment or depression, called spiritual depression, where we give up on God, we give up on our faith. But God will keep us if we are believers. And we're going to see today, as we look at this heavy trial that David is facing, some things in the text that we can take away and apply to our own lives as we face trials. First, he is your Lord. He is your Lord. He is your rock. Jehovah is his covenant name. Our covenant with the Lord doesn't go back to Adam, because Adam failed that covenant. Adam and Eve were made perfect. If Adam and Eve did not sin, they may have been guaranteed eternal life. But given the opportunity to choose, they chose wrongly, as we would have. The Mosaic covenant is very different than what we're under today. The Mosaic law said if you kept every aspect of the law, you would be considered perfect and righteous enough to be in God's presence. But we see that that was not the case, nor was it designed for that. It was designed to show that man could not fulfill all the aspects of the law and hence fall short of God's required righteousness. So there was a covering for sin. And we see that through the Old Testament pointing to the final sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he is your Lord. Jehovah is God's covenant name. That was a one-way covenant that the Lord has made, called the covenant of grace, which is what we as the church are saved under today. The covenant of grace. Thanks be to God, for we would be unable to keep any side of that covenant. Second, he is our refuge. He is our rock. In Psalm 18:31 and Proverbs 18:10, it talks about the righteousness that we need to turn to the Lord for, that we cannot manufacture, we cannot work, we cannot earn, we cannot produce on our own in any way, shape, or form to make up for our unrighteousness. So we must turn to the Lord. It talks about safe relationships. Do we feel safe with the Lord? Now, we let each other down all of the time within the marriage, within our families, our closest friends, even our pastors and deacons let us down. But God does not. Christ does not. He is always there. He is the only one that we can count on, that we can feel safe with, to truly trust and rely on. He is our rock. He is our refuge. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, in 1 Samuel. He is my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield. Rock, fortress, deliverer, shield, refuge. Do you run to the high tower of God? When you're in a trial, when you feel overwhelmed, when you are struggling, when you know you can't handle it yourself, do you run to the Lord? Or do you run to something else? Do you run to the refrigerator, like me? Maybe you run to the treadmill, because you can control that. Maybe you run to the computer or entertainment. Or maybe you try to control your children. Or maybe drugs, alcohol, work, anything that can give you a reprieve from the trial that you're facing. But that trial doesn't go away, and it's overwhelming you. You need to first and foremost run to the high tower of God. Number three, he hears you. In Psalm 139, it says that God hears us whether we feel like God does or does not. He hears us. Christ is in us. We are in Christ. Christ is with us. Christ has given us the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit is here to attest of our sin, to show us the need for Christ. The Holy Spirit is here to exemplify Christ's ministry. But the Holy Spirit is working in us to comfort us and to take our prayers and make them acceptable to the Lord. So even though sometimes our prayers are unfortunately angry, they're not clear, they're broken. Sometimes they're muffled by the floor of the pillow that we're crying into. Sometimes they're not even understandable. But the Holy Spirit knows what they are. The Holy Spirit can then translate those. The Holy Spirit makes them appropriate and perfect for the Lord. And Christ is interceding for us in the throne room right now with God, attesting for us, so that God would see that we are part of Christ, and that Christ died for us. So that when God looks at us, he sees Christ. When we hurt, even though we're broken, when we hurt, even though we're sinful, when we hurt, even though, frankly, we might deserve to hurt because we brought that upon ourselves and more, God cries, God weeps, God hurts. Because number four, he is compassionate. Our God is compassionate. Here, mercy of God means favor. We see that in Lamentations 3:22, that trials do not negate the favor of God. Let me say that again. Trials do not negate the favor of God. We are not going through a trial just because we've done something wrong. We are not facing a trial because we deserve to face that trial. Not necessarily. Trials come from many ways and many places. God allows that trial for our good and for his glory, to make us more into Christ. But it can be painful and it can hurt. But we have not fallen out of favor with God. We have not. We are in favor in Christ. The Lord is compassionate. Number five, he is your helper. He is your helper. We look at John 14:16. We see the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Scripture refers to it as our helper. Jesus left. Jesus rose. And Jesus went to the Father so that the helper could come. The Holy Spirit is with us. We are so fortunate. We are so lucky. We don't even know it. We don't even appreciate oftentimes in this time of the Gentiles, the time of the church, we have the Holy Spirit with us now. That wasn't always the case. Prior to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was very much alive and doing his ministry in special ways, in special places, at special times. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is with us. He is our helper. He is constantly here. He counsels, he comforts, he protects, he teaches, he strengthens, he sustains us. He helps us understand the milestones of God in what he has done in the Old Testament and the New Testament, what he has done in our lives, what he has done in church history. Those milestones, we are reminded by the Holy Spirit of those truths, especially when we're in a time of trial and our memory goes out the door. All we can see is that moment we're in and how we're struggling. We can't even think about what happened in the past and what's going to happen in a week, let alone a day from now. We just want to get through the next hour, sometimes the next 5 minutes. We need to remember the Holy Spirit is our helper. Number six, he is judge. No, that may seem like it doesn't fit. We're going to go back and read the psalm at the end again. He is judge. How dare we talk about God's wrath at this time? David is struggling. He's broken. He's calling on the Lord for compassion. He's calling on God to be his helper. He's calling on God to hear him. But David also recognizes that God is judge. He must judge fairly, right from wrong, and he must punish fairly what he sees. God is just. We can't take some attributes of God without others. We can't take his mercy and his compassion, but not take judgment. No. We know what it's like to be wronged and to want justice. We need the perfect judge to guide us. We can't take revenge. That's to the Lord. He who has been sinned most against, not only in volume, but in intensity, he is perfect. He is righteous. He is our creator. He is loving. He is just. And what do? We sin against him. Now, if we were to sin against the police officer or the county we're in because we're speeding and we get a ticket, maybe the judge would waive that ticket. Go to court, try to get out of it. I've done that a few times. It works the first time. But that's very different from sinning against a holy, just, perfect, righteous God. Our God, our Creator. Because of who He is, our sin is that much more intense. Hence, our judgment. We would have to go to hell for eternity, and we would never be able to pay that punishment. Hence, why Jesus Christ came. Because only Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, never sinned, lived a perfect life, could pay an infinite penalty in a very short time of intensity on that cross for all of us. How thankful we are that God judges fairly and God carries out that punishment with mercy and compassion in mind. Beloved, it says in Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Now the Lord has given us, God has given us, all of us, an opportunity to claim Jesus Christ, to have paid that penalty for us. Not all will. There will be a judgment. And that price will be paid by those who do not bend the knee, do not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Number 7, He is strength. He is our power. In 2 Timothy 2 and Colossians 1, we see that there's great joyfulness. There's endurance in the relationship that we have with the Lord. And it comes from God Himself. He is the one that is faithful. He is the one that is strong. We are not. Left to our own, we couldn't even keep or follow the faith that He's given us freely. But He keeps us. He who called us will keep us in the faith. So the Lord is our strength. How often we forget that, and we try to do things. And some of those by the means of grace that He's given us. Studying the Word, being in some type of fellowship, studying the Bible, being in prayer, coming to church. But sometimes that can become a checklist. Sometimes we can be so devoted to keeping up with reading the Bible in 1 year that all we're doing is racing through the verses to check it off. And we slip into that thing about works. We are saved unto good works. We are not saved by works. And we all have the propensity to fall into that. That's how we're built in our fallen state as men and women. That's our biggest human struggle for a lot of us. When we are weak is when He is strong. He wants us in trials so that we are weak. He wants us to recognize that we can't do it. And if you think you're going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, as Pastor Jeff says, and solve this one myself, God, because you're busy taking care of other bigger things, I got this one. You're kidding yourself. Because that trial's going to grow, another one's going to come, until He has us in that broken state where He wants us. Remember, a Christian in the Christian life isn't about overcoming the trials of this life. It's about being in a constant, repetitive, broken state in front of the Lord, recognizing you need Him in personal relationship and praising the Lord for what He has done and will continue to do in your life. That's where the Lord wants us. That's how we grow in sanctification, in our weakness. Number 8, He is our shield. There's many areas in Psalm, in the Psalms, Psalm 3, 18, 33, 84, and on, talks about Him being our shield, as David says. He is a shield that protects our heart. Psalm 3:3 says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my heart." You are my glory and the lifter of my heart and head. When we're struggling, we need to recognize where our protection really comes from. And we need to recognize we can't pull ourselves out of any funk that we're in because of a trial that we're facing. Only the Lord can. So we need to attest to the means of faith that the Lord has given us and allow the Holy Spirit to come alongside rather than trying to put Him off into a box. Number 9, He is trustworthy. He is praiseworthy. We need to embrace our pain and suffering, yet we need to trust and praise God and who He is. How many of us think about it that way? That our trials are opportunities to praise the Lord? I mean, that seems very foreign for a lot of us. I always praise the Lord after the trial. And that the next one doesn't come too soon. Right? During the trial, I'm overwhelmed. But it's an opportunity for praise. Maybe next time you're struggling and you're crying out your eyes to the Lord, which I commend you for, remember to praise Him, even in the midst of your suffering. Number 10, He is our shepherd. And we're all familiar with this in Psalm 23. As our shepherd, He bears us up. He carries us all the way home to heaven. You see, this psalm is like a journey. It's like a journey of our suffering and our hurting. The Holy Spirit will bring us peace. We will overcome in our weakness and in His strength. And in the end, we will honor Him. We will praise Him because of the suffering that was placed in our lives, or that He allowed to be placed in our lives for the sole purpose of sanctifying us and growing us to be like Him. All right, as we wrap up, 4 takeaways at the bottom of your sheet. First one, David knows where to go when he is in trouble. He knows where to go when he is in trouble. Do we? How many times do we need to learn this lesson on where to first go when we face trouble? Listen to David. We must be in prayer. We must have a genuine, close relationship, our walk with Jesus Christ every day. We can fill our heads with knowledge about God, but if we don't know Him intimately, if we are not talking with Him, praying to Him, if we are not listening to Him by what the Holy Spirit is revealing in Scripture to us each and every day, do you expect that when you're in a trial and you're suffering, that's the first thing you're going to do and you're going to recognize His voice? No. Now is the time. They talk about resilience a lot today. Our kids need to be resilient. COVID's making us resilient. Here's resiliency right here in God's Word. He and only He makes us resilient. Number two, David's posture is like that of a beggar. His posture is like that of a beggar. We bring no strength, only weakness. Fortunately, we have a God who loves it when we crawl up into His lap and we say, Father, help me, I need You. Draw close to me. Put Your strong arms around me. Shed some tears for me. Give me Your wisdom. Lift me up and set me on my way. And send Your Holy Spirit to walk with me. What's your posture? You got it? You got it all covered? You got the 401k, right? You got money hidden in a shoebox somewhere in your house. I know, you got it somewhere. Maybe you got some ammunition stored away and you got some food supplies stored away, or at least you know where your neighbor's stuff is, right? I know my neighbor's never gonna turn me away, so I let him stockpile it all. Be careful where you put your security. Your security needs to be in the Lord. David's heart trusts in God, number three. He trusts in God, which means he's willing to lie face down in total helplessness, trusting in the Lord. Now in our society today, and it's been this way probably since World War I maybe, but this idea that we are to allow ourselves to lie face down in the gutter and be broken and find our strength in something other than ourselves is a foreign idea. Get up. You can do it. Make America proud. Make your family proud. Make your spouse proud. Your kids proud. Everything. And it's so captivating, pride, isn't it? And if we think we don't struggle with pride, we're kidding ourselves. We need to trust in God, which means we need to have pride in Him. And finally, number four, David's experiences safety and joy in God, even during his trial. You see, joy is in God. Yes, joy is not in the trial. I get it. But joy is in God. And since the trial is being allowed by God, we ought to be able to find God in it. And remember, when you face a trial, it's a test. God's allowing it. If you turn to God rightly, you're proving your faith, and you're going to find joy, even in the midst of that trial, because your joy is in God and your faith in God. Instead, that same trial can become temptation. Temptation can look in many different ways. Temptation to control yourself. Temptation to make it go away. Temptation to escape from it. Temptation to use it as an opportunity to sin. And we do that, don't we? Well, she or he got me mad. That's why I spouted off the way I did. No, no. There's no trials that are an excuse for the lust and the sin that we have inside of us that we allow to captivate us and drag us away so that we actually commit outward acts of sin. There's no excuse. Read James 1, 13 through 15. That'll make it clear for you. Psalm 28, 7 says, my heart leaps for joy in Him, even though this time is so very, very hard. Of course, that's my interpretation of it. My heart leaps for joy in Him, even though this time is so very, very hard. Joy comes in the morning. And oftentimes we pray, may morning come soon. There's nothing that's harder when it's dark and we're struggling and things are in our head and they're racing around. Bring them to the Lord in prayer. Trust in Him. Read this Psalm of David. The heart that brings truly, that truly believes, excuse me, the heart that truly believes in Christ in due time will rejoice through all trials. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. And dear Lord, we thank you for this psalm. Lord, we face so many different trials. And in the midst of those trials, Lord, we lose sight of you. Lord, help us to be like David. Lord, we know we have sin like David. Let's not deny that. But Lord, may we have a heart that in the midst of those trials, we come to the end of ourselves and we quickly, Lord, look to you for your joy, thankfulness in you, security in you, trust in you, joy in you, that this trial will end, but more importantly, that we're becoming more and more like you, and that someday we will be with you and we will have no sin. And we will be like Christ. Oh, Lord, to spend eternity with you, that is our heart's desire. And we thank you, for Lord, you made that possible through nothing of ourselves. So Lord, help us to be a light in our trials. Help us to be a light in the trials of those around us, our brothers and sisters, and even those outside of this local congregation when they're facing trials. Help us to be a light to them. We pray this in your name, amen.